Good morning, everybody, again. Thank you. I know you're awake now. All right. So I can see you all, so I know who will be sleeping. So no pressure there, but I hope you're as awake as I am, driving here at about 8 a.m. this morning, which is much earlier than I like to wake up. So I'm happy to be here, and I hope you stay awake with me. And I love this series that you're doing, Imagine the People of God. Now, for those watching online or who may have forgotten the previous weeks, or who, like me, were not here for the previous weeks, I'm going to do a quick recap, and hopefully it won't be too boring for you. Hopefully we'll make things fun, and you'll laugh at any of my jokes, even if they're not funny. So, thank you for your pity laugh. We started off with week one with the concept of imagination. And you read from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, using the wonderful Message paraphrase, which reminded us that God can do anything. That God can do far more than we could ever imagine or guess or request in our wildest dreams. That God does it, not by pushing us around like political leaders might, but by working within us. God's Spirit deeply and gently works within and through us. When we are planted in love, when we embrace the wonder, the awe, the incomprehensibility of our limitless God of unconditional love, we can begin to imagine together how we can build the kingdom of God. And now, from imagining, we moved on to week two, compassion. Imagining this kingdom together brings us to compassion. You read from Philippians chapter 2, which reminds us that we must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. We must have the same attitude in the ways in which we interact with each other, specifically with those who are different from ourselves. Now, this theme is especially important to me as I just got back from a year abroad, and I don't know how many of you have ever been out of the country. Even Canada or Mexico can count. All right, a few more hands. So, as you know, going across the world, you experience people who don't look like you or speak the same language as you do or are from the same countries as you are. And so going abroad, it was a real culture shift for me. I was on a train once from Prague to Germany, and the conductor asked me if I spoke five different languages, and I didn't speak any of them, and I felt really dumb. But so just to be in a place where my language and my color and my identity and my nationality wasn't the predominant one was just such a good experience for me to make me uncomfortable, to feel what other people feel. Now, I was traveling with a few friends, and we were going to Germany. And while I was traveling to Germany, I had my two Jewish friends with me. And one of my Jewish friends had never met a German before, and she was really nervous to go to Germany. And once we rendezvoused with one of my German friends who was meeting us there, I wasn't quite sure how our debrief would go because later that day we were going to the Holocaust Museum. And so I have my one Jewish friend who's slightly afraid, and I have my German friend who I know and love as well, and we're all going together to this Holocaust Museum, and I wasn't sure how it would go, how the people would interact with each other. Now, once we were all together and we went to the museum, the memorial in Berlin, I wasn't sure what would happen, but to my surprise, when we got there, my German friends started to sob. They started to cry uncontrollably and grieve out of a shame for this atrocity committed by their country in the past, a shame which is still instilled in many Germans today, they later told us. My Jewish friends embraced them, and in that moment, I saw a glimpse of what the kingdom of God can be. When we have compassion and we don't approach someone or a group of people with preconceptions or biases, when we see them as Jesus would see them, when we treat them as Jesus would treat them, we begin to experience this compassion that you talked about. We begin to see the kingdom. We begin to build a new world where no skin color is any less valuable than another, where no person is illegal, where no sexuality is oppressed, where no economic system uses exploitation as a means of profit, where no church preaches exclusion, and where no Christian practices hypocrisy. When we imagine this world and when we embrace compassion, we move into week 3, transformation. From Romans 12, you read again from the Message paraphrase, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without thinking." When I debate politics with family and friends that see differently than I do, I shouldn't allow myself to be drawn in by our country's norms. We can't justify our practices by what we already do. Today it's become normal to take children away from families, and some say it might be legal, but it's not just. It's normal for companies to seek to make the most profit and rebuke regulations by any means possible, but it's not just. It's normal for so many injustices to occur in our society, but it's not the kingdom of God. This is not what we imagine as people of love to be like. And now if we embrace this theme of transformation, it brings us to today's theme, fruition. All of these concepts, imagination, compassion, and transformation, are necessary for fruition. Now, all summer, I've been preaching, you are my third church, I think. My family can fact check me on this. Third or fourth now. And preaching a series of renewal. And renewal is a necessary prior step, I believe, to fruition. You see, I believed that renewal, if you Google it, is defined as resuming a state or activity after an interruption. It's something that's already begun, but it was paused. It was set aside because something interrupted it. But then it continues, and the continuation of something is renewal. I believe that when Jesus appeared by the empty tomb in John, at the end of the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene mistook him for the gardener, because we were being shown the importance that God places on this world, that the button had been paused, but Jesus didn't just come, live, and die. Jesus rose again to keep working, to remind us that God's not done with this world yet, and neither are we. Jesus arose and worked again in this world and is working through us today as a means of renewal, to continue after this interruption. Though there have been and will continue to be several interruptions in the progression toward a kingdom of love, we are a people of renewal. The interruptions are just that, brief pauses along a continual journey toward justice, a journey which will not be stopped by bigots or injustices, a journey which will surge forward like a mighty stream, which will tear down walls rather than build them, and a journey ordained by God and traveled, pushed forward by us. Renewal means a resuming of an activity, a continuing of a progress which has already begun. Only after we are renewed can we reach fruition. Fruition is defined as the realization of a concept or plan, or, as we know from our kids' sermon, as the growing of a fruit. Now, if we are to come to fruition, I don't imagine us growing pumpkins and gourds on us. It means that we ourselves are to be the realization of God's plan for this world. That we are God's plan to bring us hope and a future, to love the world and all those in it, to be reunited with God in an intimate and loving relationship. Each of us is a plan for renewal,
and each of us can reach fruition.
Renewal is the necessary precursor to fruition. But what do lives of fruition look like? It sounds nice, but what does it mean? Well, let's look at our scripture reading from today. If you go to Galatians 5, it says that it is absolutely clear that God has called you to live a free life. Just make sure that you don't use your freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want. Because by doing that, you destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Now, from these verses, we can pull three things that I found. I'm sure you can pull many more. But one, we are free. That sounds simple, but it's important. It means that this world isn't just set in motion and what we do has no consequence. No, we have free choice. And two, this freedom to choose, to decide, must be used by us. We have the freedom to choose right from wrong. We have the freedom to choose profit or people. When we use our freedom to serve others out of love, everyone becomes more free. Now, later on in this chapter, it says, "Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit instead of a law-dominated existence?" When we let the Spirit of love inform the way we use our freedom, we act in ways that are contrary even to our federal laws or our state laws or our church laws. When we are led by the Spirit of selfless love, only love is our law, only love for others above ourselves. I believe that God, through a big bang, created this world and everything in it, that creatures evolved and are still evolving today, that one day we will reach fruition, that one day God's Spirit of love will work so powerfully within us that we will each be beacons of love, so much so that this world will look like the kingdom of God. And those of you that have been to some of my other services, this will sound like a repeat, but I think it's so important. If you ever read that book at the end, and I think I said this last year too, Revelation, in the last chapter, New Jerusalem comes down. I don't know about you, but growing up, I had this idea that I die and I go to heaven and I float around in bedsheets and play a harp. But in this picture, we have a very different image, that New Jerusalem comes down, that this world, we would all be so actively engaged in being God, in being love for the world, God's vessels, that New Jerusalem would be able to be built here with God. And so I believe, as John Wesley believed too, that we can become perfect in the way we love. We can reach fruition. One day, the kingdom of God will be realized, and we will be the realization of God's plan for God's world. Would you join me in prayer? O holy God of love, who is powerful beyond belief, you inform us, you transform us, you change us and renew us. O God, make us your people mighty, mighty in the face of oppression, mighty in the face of tyranny, mighty so that we can transform this world into a place of love, that we would be your love for your world and your people. O God, bring us to fruition. Say it with me. Bring us to fruition. Bring us to fruition. Oh God, we ask all of this in your precious and powerful name. Amen.